Start off the State Government Finance Committee hearing. And if I could have Representative Carlson, I assume there's minutes in here. Yeah.
Madam Chair, so moved.
Representative Carlson moves the April 9th, 2015 minutes. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Those minutes are adopted. Representative Erdahl, we're going to have you start off for us. We have House File 649. Representative Petersburg moves House File 649. And Representative Erdahl, it looks like you have an amendment.
You do.
Have an amendment?
You do.
Yes, we have an amendment.
And to your amendment?
It just pretty straightforward. $99,000 appropriated from 2016 from the general fund for the Minnesota Humanities Center general operating support.
And okay. Members, any questions?
And for 2017.
Members, any questions to the amendment? Is there anyone from the audience that wishes to testify to the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A15442 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. Representative Erdahl, to your bill as amended.
Thank you. Very simply, the Minnesota Humanities Center is the state council affiliated with the National Endowment for the Humanities. They do a lot of fine work in a lot of areas. Through the Legacy Committee, we channel various programs through them as well. The Veterans Voices program that they've been doing, the treaties, All Treaties Matter, I think important programs for the entire state of Minnesota. And again, as Legacy Chair, enjoyed very much working with them and the fine work that they do.
Okay. And I see that you have Mr. O'Fallon here. You do not have to testify to the bill if you don't wish, but if there's anyone else from the audience that wishes to testify to the bill. Members, any questions? Representative Carlson.
I think I know the answer to this question, and by the way, I concur they do good work. My only question is, you chair a committee with some resources. Would this be considered supplanting then? Is that the reason that you're here as opposed to funding it out of some legacy funds?
Representative Erdahl.
Madam Chair, Representative Carlson, that would never have crossed my mind.
And Representative Carlson, actually the humanities is part of our budget and we take care of the base funding.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Representative Carlson, the humanities is part of our budget, and so we cover their base funding, and that's what this piece of legislation does.
I see it adjusts the base, and I think I know the answer, but mm-hmm. with Representative Erdahl here and all those resources, just thought I would ask.
He kind of dazzles, doesn't he? He has a glow about him. Members, any other questions? Seeing none, Representative Petersburg renews his motion to lay over House File 649 as amended for possible inclusion in the omnibus finance bill. All those in favor? Oh, you don't have to vote. That's all good. We're good.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have, is Representative Schoen here?
Yes, I see.
Testifiers here. While we're waiting for him, if Representative Johnson, you want to present your bill. Representative Johnson moves House File 2133. Representative Johnson, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House File 2133 contains the funding and language needed to implement the first budget request that was presented by the revisor's office in late March of this year. The request is for $594,000 each year of the biennium to maintain core systems for the legislature. This would enable the office revisor to hire 5 additional computer staff and keep up with the increase in the cost of computer hardware and software. And I see we have Michelle Timmons and Mr. Orr here from Office of Revisors. Should you have any questions?
Yes, and members, as Representative Johnson highlighted, we did hear from Ms. Timmons and about this provision earlier in the session. With that, is there anyone from the audience that wishes to testify to this bill? Members, questions? All right, Representative Johnson, any final words to your bill?
No.
With that, members, Representative Johnson renews his motion that House File 2133 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus finance bill. All right, thank you. And Representative Schoen, want to step up to the plate? Representative Nash moves House File 506. Representative Schoen, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. And 506 is just clarifying and straightening out some temporary licensure issues from different boards and occupations for military members and families. And it's really not we've done this in previous legislation. Now we're just clarifying some temporary rulemaking, but I'll keep it short and just let the testifier introduce yourself and explain exactly what it is.
You can state your name for the record and who you represent.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Carrie Rexigal. It's a little difficult if you think of it like bicycle. Makes it a little easier. I am the Executive Director of the Minnesota Board of Behavioral Health and Therapy, and I'm actually speaking here on behalf of the six boards in the bill that are trying to implement temporary licensure for members of the military. And so those six boards are barbers, behavioral health and therapy, dietetics and nutrition practice, marriage and family therapy, optometry, and podiatric medicine. And as Representative Schoen said, this is a cleanup from legislation that was passed last year. It's a technical bill. There are no new fees, fee changes, or fiscal impact items in this bill. I believe I know I had to prepare a fiscal note on it, as did the other boards, and there is no impact. All of those policy and fee issues were addressed in the 2014 session when the legislature created Minnesota Statutes 197-4552. So what we are trying to do is, the legislation last year gave the boards rulemaking authority to adopt procedures for temporary licensure. The six boards in the bill decided that it was probably faster and more efficient to seek legislative change instead of going through the lengthy rulemaking process. And so we got together, and the bill is a result of that cooperation. And really, that's pretty much it. We've taken the language directly from 197-4552 and inserted it exactly to each of the practice acts for those professions.
Okay. Is there anyone from the audience that wishes to testify to this bill? Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to either Representative Schoen or Ms. Reitzigal. These are six boards. Would there be a potential in the future of other licensors that might qualify for this as well that we would may want to expand to, or is this pretty much an exhaustive list?
Ms. Reitzigal.
Madam Chair, Representative Petersburg. All of the other licensing boards were all housed in the same building. All the other boards did have temporary licensure provisions in their practice acts already, so these were the remaining boards that did not have a mechanism to do this.
Okay. Representative Pugh.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I believe my question was already answered, but my question was with regard to the Board of Cosmetology. So I'm assuming that that was already addressed. If you could confirm that, I would appreciate it.
Ms. Reitzigal.
Madam Chair, Representative Pugh. I hesitate to speak on behalf of other boards for which I am not authorized, but to the best of my knowledge, as I stated before, the other licensing boards did already have a mechanism to issue a temporary credential.
Mr. Shepherd, do you have any input on that at all?
Madam Chair, no, I don't know specifically about the cosmetologists.
And Representative Pugh, I don't see it listed here on the bill when you're looking on page 6. So perhaps Representative Schoen, I don't know if you know off the top of your head.
I don't,
you know?
Madam Chair, I don't know anything about cosmetology, if you would just take a look at me. no, the, so I think...
There's always hope for you.
Thank you. Whatever you can do to help, Representative Pugh. But I think what we're going with is that these are the only ones left. And quite frankly, if you find out otherwise, I'm sure that we can fix it.
Representative Pugh will try and find out for you. Representative Rumbeck.
Thank you, Thank you, Madam Chair. And Ms. Reisigel, so the bill states that it's effective for 6 months, the temporary licensure, and I'm reading elsewhere it's a year. So is there two different concepts that have been talked about, and now we're at 6 months?
Ms. Reisigel?
Madam Chair?
Representative
Runbeck. Each of the professions has different periods of licensure, and the language in 197, 4552, left it up to each licensing board to establish the length of time of a temporary license. And so you will see varying periods of time. For instance, for the three credentials that the Board of Behavioral Health and Therapy issues, we left the temporary license the same as a person who was applying through another method. So in other words, if a license is effective for 1 year, then that's what the military member or spouse would receive, the same initial license period. Does that address your question?
Well, Madam Chair and Ms. Reisigel, then there are some boards that are licensing for just a period of just 6 months?
Ms. Reisigel?
Is that correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Runbeck, yes, I guess I would refer to the base language in 197.4552 that gives the board's authority to establish the period of time for the temporary license.
Okay.
So
all
it's
right.
up to each board.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Madam Chair, this is for either Representative Schoen or the witness. I was interested in the 6 months time limit, and the one that jumped out at me was licensed optometrists, because if any kind of a continuing education or advanced course type thing was needed, there are very few schools of optometry in the United States, and Minnesota is not a state that has a school of optometry, and I was just curious how that six-month time limit would work if one were to meet whatever Minnesota's requirements might be to do it within 6 months, especially if your only option was, I think the last time I had any kind of a discussion about optometry was one of the closer schools was somewhere in Missouri, if I recall correctly.
I thought Michigan had
one. Chicago?
Is there one? Okay.
But at any rate, the reason I'm somewhat familiar with that was because of financial aid. It's one of the few exceptions we make where a student can attend the School of Optometry and use our state grant out of state because we don't offer the program here. So I'm just curious how that 6 months might work if there weren't any options. It seems like a particularly short period of time.
Madam Chair and members, Representative Carlson, and for everybody, the time frames that are prescribed in here are what the individual boards agreed to and said that that's what they needed. I mean, there's nothing controversial to us about prescribing the time frame. If the Board of Optometry thought they needed something different, we would absolutely do it. But that this is what they've asked for.
Representative Carlson. I can't speak for them. It just seemed like without an educational opportunity here, if that was part of what was needed.
I can't call you wrong.
You know, it may be something that we could ask the state board about, you know, to see if that is a workable number of months.
Okay.
I want to be friendly to the bill, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, no, I'm
just thinking that that may constrain the time a bit too much if that were needed.
And Madam Chair and Representative Carlson, that wasn't an expression of concern on their part thus far. So,
Representative Howe.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and I want to go down that line of Representative Carlson's line of questioning or thought, because I'm not concerned of what the board thinks is appropriate. I'm concerned about what the veteran is and their licensing. I mean, the board could set them up for failure as far as they're concerned. Maybe they don't want the veteran to come in. So my concern is taking care of the veteran and giving the veteran or the spouse enough time to meet the qualification standards or the licensing requirements that are concerned with. I'm not so much concerned about whether the board thinks it's right or not. I want to make sure that the person that comes from the service has the appropriate amount of time to meet the requirements. I guess that's where we should be looking.
Madam Chair and Representative
Powell, Representative Schoen.
The again, I mean, this is, everybody worked on this. If you've got different information, you think it should be different, I don't see any problem with that. I'm not anchored on anything here, but this is just coming from, like I said, this is a cleanup and fixing up some issues, and these six boards were not squared away yet, and that's what we're doing. So if you have an idea or you have a conversation with someone and are willing to help out, let's do it.
Representative Howe?
No, I haven't looked at it, but I will now.
Okay. Any other questions, members?
Yeah, I got one.
Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just to address Representative Pugh's question about cosmetology, I know at one time the Board of Barbers and Cosmetology were in the same board. I think maybe two or three terms ago that they were separated. So that might, that's something you might want to look into to see if cosmetology is under this this bill. So.
And at this point, Representative Schoen, we haven't been able to find it, so you might want to have a conversation with them, too, to see if that's part of it. So we've been looking in rules. It's not in statute, so we just need to figure out where it is. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and as long as we're talking about the Board of Cosmetology and the Barber's Board, I just want to put it on the record that I've heard some issues with our barber that we have here, just actually just on the other side of this wall, has been having with the Board of Cosmetology and getting the runaround from the Board of Cosmetology. And so I just want to bring that on the record. And there may be an amendment coming forward onto this bill if it gets in the other bill, it gets in the omnibus bill to deal with that.
And Representative Nelson, if you feel free after offline, we can maybe talk about that. Be interested in hearing what you have to say. Representative Carlson.
Yeah, the more I think about this six-month issue, something I thought of, and this could impact on all of the various ones, if you were discharged in June, the next semester, if there were any continuing education that would be required, would be sometime in September. So you've just lost half the 6 months, depending on the timing of your discharge. The more I think about it, it probably should be something like a year. You know, when you're putting the bill together, you might want to give that some consideration. I've also dealt with that issue when I chaired the Education Committee. When you're dealing with the unemployed, the timing of the beginning of semesters, mm-hmm. where if you lose your job and you have to wait to the beginning of the semester if you want to go into retraining, that can be a real difficult period, especially if you're raising a family and you're going to be without income. That question was not involving the military, but I think that's something to think about, though, the timing of when programs would begin. And depending on when somebody would be discharged. My main concern is just that there be a wide enough window so that, as Representative Howe pointed out, we don't set up somebody for failure.
Madam Representative Schoen, it looks like you've got some homework for yourself.
Everybody will go back and double-check the double-checking on the time frame and make sure you understand exactly why they put 6 months, or if you want a year and they say a year is just fantastical, then we'll make it a year, or be happy to have you do that if this is going to be part of your omnibus bill or whatever you're going to do, and we'll get her checked out. And if we need to get cosmetology in there and that's appropriate, by golly, let's get him in there.
With that, members, Representative Nash renews his motion on House File 506 to be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus finance bill. Members, we have last bill on the agenda is Representative Anzell's House File 1359.
Thank you.
We're going to have Representative Lunan move House File 1359. Representative Anzell, to your bill, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. members, back in 1914, it was the judgment of this legislature that in areas of the state where there was no formal township government in rural areas, in other words, unorganized territories, that the county in which those unorganized territories existed were required to appoint a tax assessor and a overseer of roads in the unorganized territory. And of course, the reason for the repeal of that language is that that's become antiquated and unnecessary. The counties have been providing those services for decades and decades and decades. There's no need for a road overseer or a local tax assessor. So this little bill repeals that language.
And is there anyone from the audience that wishes to testify to this bill? Members, questions? Representative Kahn. If you could speak into the microphone.
Yes, Madam Chairman and colleagues, why wasn't this recognized in last year's legislating session?
Representative Anzos.
Madam Chair and Representative Kahn, thank you for asking that question. Frankly, it was just missed.
Okay. Well, Representative Kahn.
Madam Chairman, I never would have expected that from someone of your degree of perspicacity and so forth. So,
members, any other questions to this bill?
Madam Chair, Lauren Solberg.
Representative Solberg.
I Itasca County, and they're the ones that brought this forward. They have someone who wants to make sure that they obey the law and pay the road overseer that they have never appointed, but that he wants them to appoint and pay him $4 a day. So I appreciate very much you hearing this bill.
You bet. Okay, members, with that, Representative Lunan renews his motion that House File 1359 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus finance bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sure, thank you, members.
You bet. Members, tomorrow we will have committee starting at 8:15. We will be doing a walkthrough of the bill. When we finish the walkthrough, then we'll take any testimony if there is anybody interested in providing testimony to the bill. And with that, members, we are adjourned.